You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Oh, Father, in the season of Advent, we ask that you humble our hearts to your previous coming, to the already not yet time that we're in, and to your coming again, Lord. Give us hearts of hope. That we can faithfully follow the lead by your love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I've enjoyed, unfortunately, have not been able to be in any of these 20s and 40s Advent classes, but I have listened to all of them and enjoyed them and have learned a lot about Advent myself. I really enjoyed just the fun music, very excited about those. Jay was also excited, by the way. Fun new Christmas music. And just the hymns that we've been talking about learning. And today, though, I told Will my title. He was like, oh. But I started thinking about expectation and how we have all this expectation during Christmas and with three kids and all the expectations of children. And it's just great, wonderful, warm, fuzzy all the time. And I'm just like, I'm not feeling that. You know, I feel like rushed and hectic and a lot of my expectations are broken. And so I thought, broken expectations. That's where God enters in. So, for example, a broken expectation that I'm going to share with you, one might go with your family to the summit to look at the toys just for fun, like great idea. We're all going to look and we can write them down on our list. And as we travel from the Barnes and Nobles to the Trader Joe's or Belk, we acknowledge that there's a beautiful fountain and we look in the fountain and then we see one of our children plummeted into the fountain. And our expectations were destroyed that day. We did not go out to eat. It was not very Merry Christmas. We moved on. we went home. also, you know, one might think, oh, I'm having a great day talking to my mom on the phone. And then the phone just thrown across the room by your toddler. And now you have to get a new iPhone. But that's okay. You know, expectations broken. I'm sure none of you have any expectations like that, but more seriously, we have a lot of expectations for how things are going to be with family, and a lot of times those are broken, or how things are going to, or things just hit us, and we don't know why they've happened, and you realize we kind of live in a sad place sometimes, and our expectations are broken. And so, as I was thinking about that, I wanted to jump into some scripture. And I thought, what would be a good book for us to just kind of jump into? And Jay and I were talking. He's like, what about the Book of Ruth? And I was like, oh, that's random, but also perfect. And we'll find out why. So we're going to jump into, and just flag me down. I have no idea where we are on time. But anyways, and then after we talk a little bit about Ruth, we can just do some Q&A or drink coffee and chat. I don't know. Whatever we want to do. But we're going to jump into Ruth. And I'm going to read a little bit about it and talk about it. Okay. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. I'm not sure if that's right. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These sons took Moabite wives, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and I don't know their names, how to say them, died. And that woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Okay, pause. Broken expectations for Naomi. So here's just some side notes. Bethlehem, if you didn't know this, means house of bread. I just think that's interesting. Elimelech means God is king. So that's her husband. Naomi means pleasant. And the two sons' names mean weakness and complete. So I think anytime we're reading scripture and we come across names, especially if they're mentioned multiple times, they mean something. There's reasons why they're there. And so I thought, this is in the time of Judges. So if you read the scripture in Judges, it's pretty wild. A lot going on there. It's tragic for a lot of Israel. So they were in Egypt. They've moved into the land of the promised land. They're there. And now they have judges. And the judges are the ones that are helping them rule the land. And this is happening during that time. And it's not really going well for them. There's lots of chaos. There's obviously a famine in the land. Now, you live in Bethlehem, house of bread. This is a problem if there is a famine in the land, right? So they decide, the husband decides, we're going to move over to Moab. And during that time, all of her hope and dreams die. Like they're gone. She's left with these two girls who are her daughter-in-laws, and all her hope for a woman in that time is through the men in her life, and she has none of that. And so I thought maybe a prayer of Naomi's would be something like, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. That she might be in that moment praying, I need help, Lord. I don't know if she did, but I get a feeling she was. Okay, so let's move on. Any questions about this part of the story or statements or knowledge that I do not know? Because there's probably a lot. All right. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the country of Moab, where she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from that place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may rest each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept, and they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I have a husband right now and this night, should I bear sons? Would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Okay, pausing there, she's being extreme, she's exaggerating a little bit, like, okay, no, it's kind of ridiculous, ladies, for you to want to stay with me, there's not really hope coming from me as far as children. What are some, anything that stands out to you? I'm sorry, I'm a little more of a question and answer person, but any thoughts that about Naomi that stood out to you in that moment when she's talking to her daughter-in-law? She's paused, she's doing something. Anything that stands out?
Like you were saying, mm-hmm. back in this time, I mean, it was almost like a death sentence if you didn't have
right.
a man
mm-hmm.
or have heir and have children.
Right.
And then the whole, and also Moabite, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like just where they're from, and then their situation, it just seems hopeless.
Yeah, and they're in like this Gentile land. She wants to go back home, for sure. So one thing that stood out to me about Naomi is that she has great faith in God, and I say that because she's blessing these daughter-in-laws. She knows that God is with her. She knows that the Lord. She prays a blessing for them, to deal kindly with them. She's like, wants good things for them and is grateful for them and tells them that. And in this moment, she may not feel so blessed, because as a woman in that time, a blessing would be, oh, I have many sons, and I'm going to have heirs, and I will have grandchildren and all the things. And this is not what's happening for her. But she is willing and able to bless these women and tell them, who are Moabites, go on your way. May the Lord bless you. And then she also says, the Lord's hand is against me. Well, that might make you a little uncomfortable, but it says something really personal to me about her, that God is personally with her. Even if she feels that his hand is against her, there's something beautiful about the fact that she knows that he's still with her in a way. And that God, like, she doesn't think that God finds that scary. Does that make sense? Like, she doesn't see him as somebody who's far away and is not able to handle her honesty, if that makes sense. She can be honest about who he is and who she is in that moment. And then here comes the famous lines that a lot of us know. We hear them at weddings. We hear it all the time. So then they lift up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. I can just imagine Naomi like, okay, well, that's what you're saying. But there's an acknowledgement that Ruth has of Naomi that I think is really important. She acknowledges all these things about Naomi. And we always were like, yeah, Ruth, you made the good decision, you know, and Orpah, you made a bad decision. I don't think that that is what we should reflect on. I think reflecting on the fact that they're returning to the house of bread, which I've always found interesting, and that there's an acknowledgement of the one true God by both Naomi and Ruth. So let's go on to the next part. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And I'm like wondering what happened that they stirred the whole town. But anyways, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me," which that's what Mara means, bitter. "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So she returns to the house of bread. She's still not doing great, right? She has nothing new that she didn't have already, except for this girl that keeps following her around, you know, and she probably doesn't deem it as anything really important yet, but they're there at the beginning of the barley harvest, which is abundant time for everyone. And a lot of us know what happens next, but thinking about Naomi and thinking about the Advent season and how we're waiting, and sometimes our expectations are broken. What are some things that we can take from her? Like, what are some things that she did in her broken expectations that, I don't know, or maybe you don't think anything. Maybe you're like, I have nothing, Paige, and that's fine. But what are your thoughts? I wanna hear y'all's thoughts. If not, that's okay too.
I was thinking about the dynamic of, I mean, our close friend who has two sons, and she's like, "I'm always going to be the mother-in-law," like when her sons grow up.
That's true.
And like Naomi literally is the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
With these two women.
Yeah.
And none of them quite really know what to do with each other after the men all men die.
Yeah.
And clearly, there's like a split decision there. And I think about like clinging to that which you do have.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ruth clings to that which she does have.
Yeah, she may not even have an understanding of who this God of Israel is, mm-hmm. but she knows that she likes what's going on, and she's just going to hang with the lady that seems to know a little bit more. Yeah, for sure. Mm.
It sounds like Naomi, who is meeting them with compassion, like, do what's best for you,
yeah.
sort of is what I take from her trying to send them away first. And then Ruth took that and then was able to give it back to her. It's like,
yeah.
you know, sort of like God giving us love so we can love
that. Right, yeah.
And gave it to her, and she's like,
oh, that's so good. Yeah. yeah, what we the love we receive, we are able to, yeah, give. Mm. I think there's a beautiful picture of just being able to be honest with God. Like, he's not scared of our what we think is scary, or maybe we aren't even, maybe we don't want to delve into ourselves, you know, like something about ourselves that we really need to give to God that we might be scared to, but he's not scared of that at all. And I love that it's very dramatic language. It's very poetic. And Ruth is put after Judges, and it's kind of used as a transition book. We move from Judges into Kings. And, like, we're into 1 Samuel and we start meeting David and stuff like that. We're moving on to that section for Israel. And I find it so interesting. This is the book that's there. I mean, this book about, like, something that feels really dark turning into hope. And because a lot of us know this story. But we're not going to read all of Ruth, as much as I just wanted all of us to do that today. But we do. So we meet this guy named Boaz, who ends up being this thing called a kinsman redeemer. And in that time, it was somebody who was like in the family that somehow could redeem you. That's outside of you, something outside of who you are and your family, and can come in and redeem you. Does that sound familiar at all? And he has, the way that they meet is Ruth and Boaz meet in a field full of barley, and Naomi has sent Ruth to go do this, and then she hears about Boaz paying attention to her, and she is definitely a mother-in-law, and she's like, okay, this is what needs to happen. We got to figure out how to get it. And he, oh dear, it wasn't meant to be. But he says, so they get married, all is beautiful, and I want to read, this is the very last bit of Ruth, and I think it's kind of beautiful, and this is where I think incarnation enters in, and we'll talk more about it. Okay. Then the women said to Naomi, so this is chapter 4, I think I read it on there, chapter 4, 14, 13, yeah, okay. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Now, Perez is the son of Judah. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Aminadab. Aminadab fathered Nashon. Okay, I'm doing this, guys. Nashon fathered Salmon? I don't know. Fathered Boaz. And Boaz fathered Obed, who fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Enter in 1 Samuel, where we start learning about the kings. And so, what a beautiful story about Boaz, a redeemer coming from outside, and that's redeemed Naomi and redeemed really the nation of Israel, which therein has redeemed us, right? If we look at the genealogy of Jesus and Matthew, all these men are named, and Ruth also, interesting. Okay, so on that note, talking about our times and brokenness and broken expectations, and I had these two scriptures where I think that meets us in the incarnation of Jesus, which I feel like if you went to the pageant, like, there you go. Like, there's a story, right? Okay, so there's a story about a blind man. And it says, it's in Luke chapter 18. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised him. So maybe in our times when people have fallen in fountains and iPhones are flying everywhere, or, you know, we just sit in a moment and we realize there's pain in this world. It's hard sometimes. We can say, "Jesus, Son of David." We can look at Naomi and we can say, "Have mercy on me." And he enters in. He is here. He is incarnate. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. So he's with you in those moments, and he's with you in the good and the bad, I guess. But my favorite thing that I found as I was doing this study is in Revelation, and it's talking about the Son of David, and it says, "I, Jesus," it's Revelation 22:16, "have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." That is very encouraging to me, that I can be honest, just as Naomi. I can enter in and just say, "Lord, I'm frustrated right now," or, "I'm ungrateful for this right now. Please show me mercy. And how can I receive your mercy in your life through your Son, Jesus?" I don't know if that's helpful or good or interesting, but that's literally all I have today. And also, side note, if you ever are wanting to, like, go into the Old Testament and you're like, "I don't know what to do," you need to look up the 1517 podcast called 40 Minutes in the Old Testament, and you'll be fine. So that's all I have to say about that. So any questions about Ruth or Naomi or incarnation? Can't promise I have answers, but we can talk about it.
I don't have a question, but just a comment. That's such a, you're right, this is like the season of unmet expectations, and kind of seeing how Naomi went through that journey, and, like, you first talked about how strong her faith was when tragedy had fallen on her, and then you see her kind of saying, "Oh my gosh, God is against me," and then in the end, you see, like it says, the women said to Naomi, "The Lord has not left you this day without a redeemer." And, you know, we all need to shift our gaze from unmet expectations to how God is meeting us in those unmet expectations and seeing the blessing of that. But I love that, I have friends in my life that'll do that to me when I'm kind of focused on, "Oh my gosh, can this happen or that happen?" Like, shifting my perspective to the blessings that are in that season. I love that it's, you need people to point you, kind of set you straight.
Right. The body of Christ is so important, for sure. And that we, like, broken expectations are hard, and they're bad, and they're scary, but they're not too big for God. They're not something that he's afraid of. Yeah. We're not going to scare him away.
Well, like, there are broken expectations. Mm-hmm. But the expectations that we had, they're not the expectation of the God.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. Lord, you brought that out really well.
Yeah, the time, though, however many classes ago it was, where it was talking about nostalgia and, like, going back home, or, you know, having memories of Christmas past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that wasn't really home. And then just, like, now is not really home.
Yeah.
Naomi, they moved. She was willing to make a new home and understands that, you know, we're not home yet. We think we're on the other side of a door, and we're trying to get back someplace. We're trying to get this now but not yet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we've never been home.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the unease.
It's
like we know we're not where we're supposed to be yet.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't actually witness the true bread of heaven. They didn't actually witness the true Redeemer.
Right.
In Bethlehem. You know, that came
later.
Later.
Yeah.
And so it's just, we might not even see certain things in this life.
Yeah.
And so, we always forget the bad stuff. We remember the good.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, it's like, yeah, we can't put expectations on this Christmas feeling like the past.
Right.
If I remember correctly, and that wasn't actually home.
Right.
We're going home.
Yeah.
We'll be here one day, and it's just not.
Yeah. Mm. I like what you said there about the bread going back. I just think it's so interesting that that Bethlehem is where Jesus is from, and that they are constantly reflecting on the bread of life, and that she's returning to that bread. And yeah, our home is in Jesus, right? Our home is in His already, in the not yet, and what is to come. Yeah, He is our home. So.
I had a quick question.
Sure.
You're talking about names meaning something. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Obed means?
If you ever... It's a great question, and I was literally, I was like, I should look that one up.
I was wondering,
like, that would have been nice. That would have been good.
I was just curious.
No. Hey, go home and research. And let me know. No, I like it. Yeah. I think there's something there for sure. And I put on your handout, I think I put, which we sang today, was O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I think it's a beautiful song, but it talks about Jesse's, that's so important to the history of Israel, and then therefore to the whole entire world. Just this, in the Bible, Jesus is referred to like the son of David, and he's the Messiah, the anointed one. And so just the fulfillment of that all. And I just was reading, I just thought it was really funny. I was like, oh, I put O Come, O Come, Emmanuel on that paper, and we sang it today. Oh, goodness, that's awesome. I meant to mention this too, another great book on incarnation. I feel like she was referenced a couple times, but Madeleine L'Engle is a great, she's a wrinkle in time if you read that book, but she has so many great nonfiction things that are in art and faith, and this one's called Bright Evening Star, Mystery of the Incarnation, and it's so good. She has so many good nuggets of just talking about just how God enters in our daily lives. And it's really, really lovely. Well, anything else? Any other thoughts? If not, Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Quick Google.
I knew you were doing that.
But Google, this is AI. Grain of salt.
Grain of salt.
Obed means worshiper or servant of God.
Oh, okay, cool.
Beautiful.
There we go.
That's so cool.
I love you drawing out, the names and, the meaning of something, with the names are mentioned multiple times. Let's, hone in on that. That was really good.
Yeah, I like that one,
too.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let me pray first. We'll get out of here. Well, Lord, thank you so much for just Paige and her time and bringing forth these amazing themes of Emmanuel and being saved in the book of Ruth, despite Ruth's expectations and Naomi's expectations and Orpah's expectations seemingly not being met, but then them being fully met in you and your plan for their lives. And I pray as we go forth in this Christmas season with all of its glory that you might be with us, that you might bring to light those expectations that are yours in light of our own broken expectations, and that we might know throughout it all that you are with us, that you care for us, that you see us, and that you call us your own. Thank you for Paige again, Lord, and for her wonderful family, and bless and keep them, and bless and keep all of us this day as we walk into the nativity of our Lord. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.